right at that particular time that he should come in, inasmuch as Josias was the one that gave such an outstanding banquet or feast in his day. There were feasts, you know, given that was likened unto the days of Solomon. And he was the man that straightened out everything and put it back in order, being typical of the man child, just 8 years old. Only a child, but he did a man's job. And I thought of how that when they came to the throne, how that they'd done away with the brazen serpent. They'd had the brazen serpent so long that they had gotten to worshiping the brazen serpent. They'd become a pagan god to them. And how that it was destroyed and the people returned to Christ. And I thought about Brother Branham being typical of Moses, you know, and how that the people have gotten so hung up, as we say, on the serpent seed teaching, to where they've gone into the lust of the flesh with it and made it something to really cause problems with and destroy rather than do good as it was intended. And I think that there should be something done about it in our age, don't you? We need to get back to the Lord Jesus, back to Christ. I'm glad to have Brother Blake with us tonight out of Augusta, and thankful for the others. I miss Brother Hollis not being here with us. I'm sure he's doing something for God. Glad to have Roger to come in, he and his wife. I want to read just a little bit to you. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Revelation. And we haven't said a great deal about Revelation as of late. I'll try to just say a few things tonight, and I know that it's beginning to cool off just a little bit, and it might get just a little bit uncomfortable. I hope it don't. But I want to read just a little bit from the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles. Let's turn over to the 10th chapter. Now, we've referred to this scripture many times. I want to just pick up a thought or two tonight, if the Lord will let us get into it. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now, I want you to notice something here. We refer to this a lot of times as the mighty angel. So often they refer to it as the mighty angel. But if you notice something, it said here, and I saw another mighty angel. So apparently all of them was mighty angels that came out, but this was another mighty angel. And of course, mighty here indicates that there is a difference in the strength of the angels so far as their office is concerned. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. How many know when it says come down from heaven, that means come out of the Spirit? Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now right there, it's obvious that this is referring to the Lord Jesus. Because in the first part of Revelation, it speaks of the one that had the face like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. We know that it's the covenant angel, which would be Jesus, inasmuch as he had the rainbow over his head. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, I think most of you understand by now that this was the seven angels that had the seven trumpets that stood before God right after the seals were opened. And these came forth in the opening of the seventh seal. Now, Brother Branham, as far as I know, never expounded the seventh seal. But these came forth in the opening of the seventh seal, and seven angels prepared themselves to sound, and the last three of those angels, it was said concerning them that they were the three woes. Woe, woe, woe. The last three angels that was to sound was to be angels of woe. So then the last angel here that is accounted for as the seventh angel is one of the woe angels, the last one of the three woes. And he was to bring about the finishing of the mysteries of God. If you notice, it said, but in the days of the voice. Now, just before he said the days of the voice, the angel declared that time would be no more here. Said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations, and tongues and kings. Now, if you'll notice, immediately comes the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation that speaks of the two witnesses. And then the 15th verse of the 11th chapter, it said, and the seventh angel sounded. Now, how many of you are paying attention now, noticing what I'm saying tonight, see? And the seventh angel sounded, the 15th verse of the 11th chapter. And the seventh angel sounded. Now here's what happened when he sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now to me, there is no mistaking the sounding of the seventh angel, because the seventh angel did not sound until the mysteries were finished. He was the finishing of the mysteries. And when the mysteries were finished, as he sounded, immediately the kingdoms of this world became the kingdoms of God. Isn't that right? You know, Brother Branham, having preached like he did, and as we say, closed out the church ages, it was no great wonder that in the writing of the charter and stipulations that we were impressed to write and bring about, that one of the great things that was outstanding in it was that we were impressed to write a proclamation. And in that proclamation, it stated that the kingdoms of this world has now become the kingdoms of our Christ. And the 24 elders which sat up on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. When I think of that, I think of what Brother J.T. Parnell said about seeing the Ark of the Covenant here. If you notice, following the 11th chapter, immediately the great wonder appears in heaven, and then the red dragon. I want to read just a verse or two of that, and try not to get into a long, drawn-out thing tonight, but maybe expound just a few things. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I just want to talk with you a few minutes tonight. To get into a subject like this, with so much revelation in my heart concerning it, it might not even be wise that I should read it tonight. But I just wanted to comment a little bit and say a few things concerning it. Now, when I say something to you concerning these things, I'd like for you to try to understand, because when I say these things, I'm not speaking of differences between people or races or creeds or any other thing that would injure or tear down. Because to me there's but one people, that's God's people. And all that are in the world has been created by God and for God's purpose. And God loves every one of them equally, no matter what people say about it. There is no respect of person with God. There's neither Greek nor Jew in Christ. When I say these things, I have to bring out the types and the shadows of what God has done by His own handiwork to be able to let you see and understand what I'm saying. I'm for everybody. I love everybody that will try to do anything right. God loves them. He's angry with the wicked every day. But God's people are composed of all nationalities and races. But in Christ, there is but one people. That's the God people. Anything that's outside of that circle is considered brute beast, no matter what kind of people they are. White, black, yellow, red, whatever they are considered brute beasts. And when I speak of these things, I am speaking of the brute beasts that are out yonder in the world. So don't feel anyways out of sorts toward me, because I have nothing to say against God's people. And when I'm speaking against them that are out yonder, I'm speaking according to godliness. And I'm not speaking against any race or creed. I'm speaking against all of them. Because all of them are the same, no matter what creed or color they are. So then, I ask you to bear with me when I'm trying to bring this to you, that you might receive the things of God. I am not contrary to anything that's good. There is not one organization in the world today that I am contrary to if it's good, whether it's for the white man or the black man or the yellow man or the red man. I'm not against that. I'm not against the government. I am against the corruption of the government. I'm not against the law. Dignitaries and powers ordained of God, I'm not against them because God has ordained them. But I am against the corruption that is in the system. God has given us a great democracy, a great nation. And I am very thankful. I am very thankful for the great nation that we have in the Constitution that the forefathers set up. I'm grateful for it. It has been a great Constitution. It has been a great America. I'm not against it. I'm very grateful. And you people that do not appreciate it, when communism comes in and takes over, you're going to understand then what you had and realize how ungrateful you was. Now, I know that there is a lot of people in the communistic regime. I'm not against those people. I'm not against people that are under communist rule. There's people, the people of Russia is just like the people of Germany. And they're just like the people here in the United States. All of them would like to have peace. But because of the treacherous leaders, the ecclesiastical powers, and the money-mad men of the world of today, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not against the good things. If there's any good thing in the communist policy that would be of God, it would be for it. If there would be any good thing in the democracy that we've got today, I would be for it if it be for God. Whatever form of government it is, if it is for God, then it's for the people and the good of the people, and I'm for it. I'm not against the NAACP. I am against the corruption of it. The NAACP has done a lot of good things and could do a lot good more. But I am against the corruption of it. I am against those that rob people, that destroy and take away from people, and tear down and lead them into bondage because of the covetousness of their own doings. I'm against that. I love humanity. I want to see humanity raised up and exalted in the eyes of the Creator. And that's His desire, is to raise them up and make them equal to Himself. I want to see them fed and have plenty. I want to see them have the right form of government. I'm for Christ bringing in the manifestation of the sons of God, that they might do away with the corruption of this world and usher in the great millennium age of God and bring the restoration of all things that we can live happy and live peaceful. This is God's desire. This is my desire. We're told here that at the sounding of this last trumpet, that the mysteries of God would be finished. With the finishing of the mysteries of God, then the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of God. Is that right? In other words, there's no mistaking the last message. A lot of people argue about the last message.
But there's no mistaking the last message. Because the Bible said when it's finished, immediately the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. If a message comes on the scene and the message is finished, and the kingdoms of this world has not become the kingdoms of our God, it's obvious that the last messenger is not sounded. So there's no mistaking in what God does or what God says. The finishing of the mysteries of God to let us know the mind of Christ and to let us know what God has in store for us and what the Lord is trying to do for us. My, how that thrills my heart. To know that we're nearing the finish line of everything and that God has in store something great and mighty for His people. That thrills me. So then, I know that there's no mistaking what the Lord does. He doesn't make mistakes. When the mysteries are finished, when they are thoroughly finished, then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. I want to say something here, just talking to you just a little bit, and I want you to see if you can understand what I'm saying. I speak of the woman with her feet upon the moon, the crown of 12 stars upon her head, the moon under her feet, and her garment is as the sun, clothed in the sun. You know, and I know, we brought out a few things concerning it, that clothing of the sun represents the eternal spirit. Is that right? It represents the glorification of the church. For the Bible said they'll outshine the noonday sun. And it says that within His strength, it's as though the sun shineth. So we know that that means the Spirit of God. And then when we look upon the head, the crown of 12 stars, what does that crown represent? It is the crown of life. The knowledge of God, which comes from the 12 apostles, the apostolic leaders, 12 great stars within the crown. That is to say, within the crown of life that I am to receive from my soul, that it is a derivative that comes from the teachings of the 12 apostles. It is their foundational teachings for my soul. And then when we look and see the moon under her feet, we know that the moon is a representation of the lesser light, which is the law, the light of Moses. The law, the lesser light. But the Bible speaks of the former light. Then it speaks of the latter light. That being the light of the world, which would be grace. The light of the world is grace. But the former light was the law. It was within the veil. And so it is with the former rain and the latter rain. So we see the woman with the law under her feet. A foundation, for the Bible said the foundation of the law and the prophets. We're founded upon the law and the prophets. And there it is, the law. And there is the sun within her strength, the glorification, the Spirit of God. And there is a crown upon her head. And the Bible said that she travailing in birth, pain to be delivered, was to bring forth the man-child. As in the days of Mary when the heavy taxon came. And they led her up to Jerusalem, up to Bethlehem. And at that time, being heavy with child, ready to bring forth the man child. It was a beautiful thing, but there was no place found for her in the inn. She was an outcast. The child was born in a manger, laid in a bed of hay. The Lord Jesus coming in a stable to show that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this world today, and to God, this world is a stable. It's a place of brute beast. But down here in the stable, the Son of God, the many-membered Son of God, is born and laid in a manger of hay. Taxed with every oppression, every problem, every heartache in this world, Brother Blake. But at this time, it was a great turn of event. A great turn of event. Because the shepherds had kept their flocks by night the angel of God appeared to them and said, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Isn't that wonderful? They appeared to the shepherds. They said, now it's time for peace. And said there's a goodwill from God to mankind from now on. God doesn't feel bad at mankind anymore. There's a Savior born into the world. There's somebody to pay the price. There's somebody that's going to spill his blood as a lamb at Calvary. That a goodwill can be toward man. Having peace with God by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the writings here we see when the mysteries are finished concerning this babe that was to be born. That the kingdoms of this world suddenly become the kingdoms of our God. And then it says that this woman with her feet on the moon that we've likened unto America. We spoke of America being with her feet on the moon. America being in a travail in this evening time of life. A great conflict looking for a leader. Wanting to bring forth a great leader that can solve our problems. A great ruler in trying everybody everywhere. But the Bible said in that day no man shall save them. For he alone shall be exalted in that day. Nobody else but Christ shall be exalted. It's Charlie's banquet of the supper. The master of ceremonies apparently was the Lord Jesus. Standing there to be exalted in the last hour. The coming forth of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, behold a mystery. And the angel said, the finishing of the mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. And here we are together, waiting for a change, waiting for something to happen. And how would it happen? There's got to be a mystery revealed. And like Brother Branham said, the mystery must come within the thunders. There must be the revealing of the mystery in the thunders. He said it's hid within the thunders. Everything is shaping up. What was Calvary? The crucifixion of the body of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I beheld him, he said. I saw him. The finishing of the mysteries, because this is a repeat of Calvary, a comprehending of Calvary. And he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven because there was a great disturbance. There was a war, there was a conflict. Something was taking place. A great thing was beginning to take place. And in this great thing, Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. I think about the hour that we're living in right now. The thing that's taking place. The woman with her foot on the moon. The red dragon, Russia, communism moving in. The middle of this year, they predicted that the middle of this year they'll take over. They said in the middle of this coming year, which is now upon us, that they're going to take over. The horribleness of the red dragon coming in. Wanting to devour the man child, the great leader. That was to come forth in that hour. Have you understand what I'm saying? In the middle of this year, they say they will take over. They're pressing. They're causing envy and strife and malice and problems. Just like when I saw the vision of the rapture taking place right at the time that this happening of the law took place where they interfered with the speed limit. I saw that great confusion. That is definitely an act of communism to confuse the people. It's another one of their gimmicks to confuse the people. Because in the vision I saw the people greatly confused. And this very day we've had a reaping from that very thing. The clock on the man's car showed 70 miles an hour. And here the law, the same law that a few months back held up 70 miles an hour and stood to protect the people as they drove 70 miles an hour. They set out here on a campground and charged the man a fine for driving 70 miles an hour. In other words, it's a confusion. It's the act of Satan. It's the red dragon. It's communism. What is it? It's a problem that's arising in our government, and we're not doing anything about it. We're not praying, we're not fasting, we're not seeking God. When the Bible said that we're to offer prayer for all men, kings and leaders, that God might keep us great leaders and put men in the position to protect us and protect our little children. But we're not doing anything about it, folks. We're just sitting around letting nature take its course. But the devil's being aggressive. He's moving in on us all the time, wanting to devour the substance, wanting to kill out the man-child. Satan knows that this hour, that many-membered body of the sons of God, the man-child, is to come into the mind of Christ in the finishing of the mysteries. And he knows it's going to overthrow the worldly government. And that the worldly government will be no match for it. And the minds of education and seminaries that's got control of the world today will be no match for it. And they're shaking in their boots. Just like Sheriff Thornton. I understand he's gone to see the governor. What is it? The crown of thorns for the body of Christ. Thornton. Coming down upon the membership of this body. As in the days of Pilate when they went to the governor to bring it down for 30 pieces of silver, wanting me to give them $35 for something I didn't do. What is it? Right here at this very hour when the stone of the birth is spoken of, which is the catching up of the man-child, the crucifixion of the Lord, and then the coming forth of the Christ, where he was caught up to the right hand of the Father. The rapture, right here, ready to take place. The Bible said Titus came in and plowed the city like a field. And right here, Brother Harburger calling us to Titusville for a meeting. Everything falling into place. And even in that area, I understand it's the launching of the satellites there in the area, which goes back to catching up the man-child and the woman with the feet on the moon. Everything, allegorically speaking, falling into place. And what are we doing? We're not praying, we're not seeking God, we're not trying to do anything, we're not trying to get a hold of it. And we're right on the verge of the great banquet, the great supper of the Lord taking place. We talk to you and we exhort you and we try to tell you, every man stand in his place, every man do what he's supposed to do. Don't backbite, don't find fault, don't tear each other down. We've got enough on our hands fighting with the devil. Look at the brute beast out yonder that we've had to fight with today. Paul said, I fought with brute beast at Ephesus. And look at the people that we're wrestling against. Why do we want to devour one another? We need one another. We need to stand with one another. Not in a racial thing. You can't stand with no race. Them people hate you regardless to what race you are. They hate you. The Bible said they'll kill you. And think that they do God a service. They hate you. You've got to be a God man and a God woman and be in the God family. We're separated different from everybody else. We've got to come together, folks. We've got to come together. United we stand, divided we fall. That's the old saying of the United States, and it's a great saying because it worked just exactly that way. But what are we going to do? The law, Thornton, the law. The law was what placed the crown of thorns on Jesus. But the killing out of that body only brought the resurrection of something that swept around the world that they couldn't get rid of. It shook them out of their kingdoms, tore their thrones down, and brought them to nothing. And I can feel the same Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah! The same God tonight. That's on our side working with us. I can feel him tonight. The same great, powerful hand of the Lord. They can make the arm of flesh their trust and their convenience. But I'm leaning on the God of Jacob and the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And through him I'll win out every time. Hallelujah. Every time. He's never lost a battle. Never. Right here with all that happening, right at the very time that we're considering taking the trip over to Jerusalem is the catching up of the man-child. Something happening. The mysteries of God being finished. Now you say, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm trying to get something over to you tonight. Look at it. It was in the time of the thunders that the mistress was finished. It was in the time of the thunders that the friction came. On some of those things that I preached concerning the thunders, I said that the cold and the hot's coming together in the church. The church is trying to mix with the world. And it's causing a friction. It'll never work that way. It's causing a friction. Sharp, cutting words. Hurts. And right at that time when the cold and the hot is coming together, right at this very moment, Satan is to be cast out. He's to be cast out because when the friction started, then the mysteries of God was finished. For as the thunders, the rolling, the roaring, it was in the midst of all the frustration and confusion that Christ himself stepped out. He said he returned in the clouds, many clouds of witnesses compassing us about, saying that he would return in the clouds. And he stepped out. Paul said, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and right in the midst of the thunders when the things begin to rumble and things begin to roar and things begin to get disturbed, something begin to take place. There's going to be a racial conflict such as you've never seen. And it's going to indicate the clouds coming together because people are likened to clouds. And those clouds are going to come together. And you're going to see. You know, in the time of storm, you see black clouds. You see white clouds. You see red clouds. You see yellow clouds. All kinds of clouds coming together. And the racial turmoil. And everything coming together, bumping together with their fierceness. The time of the rumbling and the thundering. The mysteries are to be finished. And that time of conflict when they're all coming together and all clashing together. All the turbulence taking place. The friction and the lightning. Then all of a sudden in the midst of it, John said, I looked and the Ark of the Covenant was seen. Right in the midst of the confusion, right in the time of frustration, the Ark of the Covenant came forth. Hallelujah. It's right when the rumbling starts and the fussing starts and everybody gives their opinion, everybody's got their religious conviction and everybody is filled with frustration and confusion and the contrary winds of doubt begin to blow, that the mind of Jesus, the mind of Christ, the Ark of the Covenant of God will come forth. Ooh, I feel something, don't you? Hallelujah. Right at the time when all opinions, all religious convictions, all philosophies, all education, all doctrines, all knowledge, everything will come together and begin to wrestle. The Bible said that John looked and Daniel looked. And he said, I saw these things wrestling over the waters. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I saw it wrestling over the waters, he said. And you know that when you look at the beast, it said the beast come up. And you check that beast out. And the composition of the constitution of that beast was exactly the kingdoms that Daniel saw in his day. Every one of those kingdoms, you put them together and they make the beast that came up out of the waters, which means a constitution of the people. Brute beast. Made to be taken and destroyed. It's the constitution of the people. All of those kingdoms that have the origin, the seed of that thing coming to a harvest and yielding its harvest and all of the people coming together in a great conglomeration. Combining their efforts together to make that fierce beast under the leadership of those great things. It's obvious that one of the great outstanding things in the Antichrist's life is that the Bible said he will not regard the desire of women. We know that that goes back to the papacy because we know that they teach against marriage. We can understand some of the things that's taking place. How of you can understand what I'm saying? But the law is closing in. What does it indicate? When the law closes in, what does it mean? It means the crucifixion of the body. When the law starts closing in on the church, it's Herod trying to kill out the man-child. The time of the birth. Where is the start of our birth? That's what the angel said. Right at that very moment. It's at that moment when the law closes in. It begins to close in. As it closes in, the red dragon. Who is the woman? The body of Jesus hanging between heaven and earth in the travail. That's where we're at. Somebody said, I don't see that, Brother Pike. But that's where we're at. We're hanging between heaven and earth. You say, how can that be? Because in the body we're still here. But in the spirit we're over there. One foot on the land and the sea, hanging between heaven and earth. The door that's open in heaven, in travail, waiting for the redemption of the body, which is the birth of the man-child. Waiting. And what is the law doing? Herod, trying to kill out that man-child. There's the woman. The woman. She's hanging there, the church hanging there, the body of the Lord hanging there in the second heaven, waiting, waiting, partly with her feet on the law down here, caught in the second heaven up here where the crucifixion is, where the evil powers is, but over here in the third heaven, she's got her head in the clouds, got her head in the clouds. Hallelujah. I'm glad. The Bible said, let your conversation be in heaven. Your desire can be in heaven. Hallelujah. The old red dragon under our feet. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. Hanging between heaven and earth, there's the woman in travail. What is she trying to do? She is trying to bring forth the image of Christ. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. We're trying to bring forth the image of Christ travailing. Something said, don't gossip. If anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Don't gossip. That isn't bringing forth the image. Deny yourself. That's bringing the image. Swear to your own hurt. Bring the image. It's a travail. It's a fight against the old man. But we can do it. We're going to do it. So then between heaven and earth, there she hangs. The thunders, the lightning, the friction. But what is it? Satan being cast out. The Bible said when that man child is caught up, just as quick as the bodily redemption comes in. What does that indicate? The coming in of the Jews. When the Jews come in. When the Jews begin to come in, it means the redemption of the body. Because Paul said at the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world. What will the receiving of the Jews be? But life from the dead, which is the resurrection. See, the redemption of the body. This body's dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ buried in baptism. But the coming in of the Jews will be life from the dead. Charlie said in the banquet, I saw many people that's been dead, he said. But I saw them at the banquet. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. All right, let me say just a few more things. Now, what is it? The law. The law has got to close in on the church. What is it going to be? It's going to be a communistic power. Have you understand what I'm saying? Because the red dragon was the one that done it. Trying to tear down that image, kill out that man-child. Don't want us to bring forth that image. We don't want you to wear them long dresses, ladies. It bothers us, they say. As they're burning their lust one toward another. What is it? They hate this out here. They don't want truth. They don't want righteousness. They despise that image. The devil sees that image coming forth and he despises it. The Bible said they'll hate us and kill us and think to do God a service in their ritualistics. But it's coming forth, folks. In little Bethlehem, there's a Son of God coming forth. There's a people that's coming out of this in spite of all that they can do. But But the law is trying to come down on us, to crucify us, to kill us out. But they don't realize that by putting us under pressure just cause the birth pains to come a little quicker. And when they begin to place us under the pressure, then's when the image comes forth. Because as quick as they put that pressure on the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden Jesus, when he said, "Lord, it's Father, it's finished," and bowed his head, out of the earth came forth the Christ that filled the hearts of the believers, and mighty signs and wonders swept the earth, and they were shook because God was with them and did many mighty things confirming the word. And then came the dark age, which we know to be the tribulation. A quick move of God cut short in righteousness to prove that God is still in the earth. And then the tribulation period coming in, moving in, moving in. There's so much I'd like to say here, but notice one thing. When the man child was caught up, there was a proclamation that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, that is, it never did get into the spirit, for he is among you. And he knoweth that he had a but short time. Why? Because he'd been cast out of heaven. Short time, 3.5 years, that's all he's got. He knows that he's got a but short time, so he goes about devouring whom he may. As the man child is caught up, Satan is cast out. Satan can't hide any longer. We brought that out one night here on tape. He can't hide in the flesh any longer, because as long as you're unredeemed in your body, then grace will continue. It will continue. But when the mysteries are finished, then you will be changed and grace will be no more. Because grace is for the righteous. And the very moment that Lot went out of Sodom, the fire and the brimstone came. The very time he got out of there. So then, when the body is redeemed, it indicates that grace is lifted, that Satan, who is a spirit, a fallen angel, can no longer remain in a veil in the sense that he is hid in the spirit. He must immediately manifest himself in one individual and a many-membered body. I brought it out here where all flesh wandered after the beast. You follow me? And I said the Bible teaches that they are brute beasts. To wander after the beast is to wander after education, the tree of knowledge. To wander after the beast means to wander after the flesh, lipstick and powder and paint and frolic and worldly things. To wander after your flesh. To wander after the beast. All of the world wandered after the flesh. All of them went after the flesh and the ways of life. And it headed up in their Superman. Now, I see something great, because it said the minute that this man child was caught up, a voice screamed out. Now see, what was it at Pentecost? When the Lord Jesus was caught up, they didn't seem to have any power in the church. But when the Lord Jesus was caught up, all of a sudden a mighty rushing wind, and now has come power, now has come strength. Now has come salvation, and great and mighty miracles begin to take place. God working with them, confirming the word. The signs and wonders following. So then, it is obvious to me that, as we said the other night about the little glass slipper, right at this time, though everything's turned back to a pumpkin, yet God is in the land looking for the little lady. Jesus is looking for the little lady. And that little glass slipper is the mind of Christ. It fits the soul. That's right. And he's looking for somebody that will fit. He's trying to find somebody that it will fit. If the mind of Christ will fit you, if you've conformed to it, if you conform to the image, if you denied yourself, if you've come to the image of the Lord Jesus, that little glass slipper, that mind of Christ, will fit you. You can swear to your own heart, then you're God's little Cinderella. And Prince Charming is waiting to take you away with him. That is the truth. That's why God has got this book coming out right at this time. The sons of God, God's Prince Charming, the members of his body. And the beautiful church, God's Cinderella, that's been dressed in rags, that's to be clothed in the sun. So many beautiful things are taking place. The Bible said, pray in the time of the latter rain. How many believe this is the latter rain? He said, I'll make some cheerful clouds, some bright clouds. You know, I've used this term before, I'll cloud up and rain all over you. That's what we need to do. If we'd all just cloud up and just rain all over the devil. Just rain all over him. Just cloud up real good, you know. That is, if we pray in the time of this latter rain, God will make bright clouds, silver lining. Bright clouds. He'll fill us full of cheerfulness. We'll be a bright cloud, a cheerful cloud, a glorious cloud, full of the heavenly rain of God, full of the message, ready to tell somebody about Jesus. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm saying? I want you to stand with me. A lot of things we'd like to say, but these few things I just wanted to drop in tonight and share with you. The crucifixion, brethren, is near at hand. The law is going to close in. And the law is what's going to bring about the redemption of the body. You might say, well, how do you see that, Brother Pike? Like Brother Branham said, when the boycott comes, that little boycott, that means everybody will link one with another out there in the world and all link against us. That's right. The boycotting that brings in the mark of the beast, everything to everything, you know, linked together. And if Brother Branham is right, today's what, the 12th? In just a few more days, I can come up to the pulpit and I can say, brethren, according to what Brother William Branham said, next year is the last go-round. It's come around fast. A few years ago, we were saying 3, 4, 5 years, almost like a flash. Now in a few days, I can come up here and say next year will be the last year. When? At the first of the year? That means just a few months away, if that be true. Or will it be the middle of 77? Or what will it be in 77? That means that something has got to be happening. Something, somewhere, there's got to be something that's being, it's getting over to somebody. Now, it might not be getting over to you, but it's getting over to somebody. There's something that's getting over to somebody. There's got to be something that's getting over to somebody. Somebody is getting something. Because it's been about 10 years since Brother Branham was dead. And something has got to be getting over to somebody, because if Brother Branham is right in the prediction of the end time, not that that would be the end of the world, but rather the end of a great part of America, or maybe all of America. If America is bummed, that doesn't mean the end of the world. It can only be the beginning of the tribulation period. But the thing is, it means sorrow and heartaches. It means that we could say like this, within another year, me and you will be blown into bits. Our babies and you and I will be nothing but fragments along the ground. That means something has got to be happening. The Bible said, lest God shorten the days for the elect, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. They'd destroy all flesh with diseases, with bums, with everything. All flesh would just perish from the face of the earth. At the rate they're going, everything would become extinct. But he's going to shorten the days for the elect's sake. When he said the days, he said those days. What days are those? The days of the tribulation. For I will shorten those days for the elect's sake. The elect there indicates the Jew. We have a spiritual shortening at Calvary to spare us. Is that right? You know, I was thinking about the red carpet tonight and how it goes back to Winchester and what took place. Tonight I wanted Brother Keith to bring his little child tonight. He's not here. All right. That's a good sign. He's been caught up, ain't he?
I'd like for him to have brought him tonight if it had been here, and I'd like to pray over him. We've already dedicated the child, and I promised Keith that I would say a little something about him so that we could get it on tape. But if he's not here, then maybe the Lord will have us to say something about him over the weekend. I thought maybe it might work out that way. But I want you to lift your hands with me now. Something wonderful has taken place tonight. I tarried for a few minutes, and I usually slip on out. But I want to pray with you and talk with you for just a few minutes. Something is happening. Something strange, something outstanding. The law is closing in for the kill on the church. Some places are closing the church out if you don't have so many members. The great red dragon is coming in. And that means that he's been cast out of heaven when he comes in. Because he persecuted the woman. The woman went into a wilderness, which of course indicates the Jew. For times, time and half a time, the communistic powers come in and close in on her, and all the nations gathering around her. Her two prophets will stand up, Moses and Elijah. And she'll go into that tribulation wilderness for times, time, and half the time, which is the tribulation period. But the spiritual perspective of things will already be taken place by then. And the four winds that Daniel saw wrestling over the waters, which is those doctrines, those strong doctrines that we brought out, people being the waters, trying to get control. Those winds will be released in a destructive war of wrestling, and fighting, conquest during that period of time. But if you'll notice, it was after Revelation 10 when the thunders uttered the voice that the mistress was finished. With the finishing of the mistress coming out of those clouds, when they began to bump themselves together, the man-child went up and Satan went out. War in heaven is always shown by thunderstorms. When you see a thunderstorm, it indicates war in heaven, Satan being cast out. That's why a lot of times storms cause so much damage. Satan roaring about in the earth when he's cast out through the lightning and the thundering. Something outstanding is taking place. And I know that some of you see it. I know that some of you see it. But I'm afraid that some of you don't see it. But if you ever have in your life tried to unite together, to love one another, to be a unit, I want you to do it. I appreciate the people that rallied today. So many people rallied today. My black brothers and my white brothers. My sisters. They rallied today, and it really shook those people up there. As a matter of fact, the statement was made to me by one of the officers. Said, just come on in. Said, two level-headed men can settle this without bringing hotheads into it. Because he's afraid that those men was going to come in, and they could already see that they were upset. I asked him to stay outside, and I told him, I said, you'd better settle it, because I'm afraid there might be a few hundred up here if you don't settle it. But he got it settled. But folks, they're not going to leave us alone. Satan departed from Jesus for a little season. But they're not going to leave us alone. If it's not Brother Pike, it's going to be you. Not you, then somebody else, because they're not going to leave us alone. This is the beginning of sorrows. I brought that out here a while back. And that reminds me, I believe that Brother Terrell also recently, Brother James, didn't he publish in his book? I believe he was telling me that he said this is the beginning of sorrows. God had showed him it was the beginning of sorrows. See, there's sorrow on the highway. No more joy in driving too many wrecks. No more joy in raising children. Too many heartaches. No more joy in marriage. There's just too much filth. Too much deceit. Corruption. There's no more joy in living. Too many diseases. Wars, fears, frustration, the beginning of sorrow. Sorrow in everything. Sorrow, the day that Solomon spoke about. the long day of mourning, the golden pitcher be broken and the silver cord be loose. And men go about the streets mourning, a heaviness, a mourning. But the law isn't going to leave us alone. They'll kill you and think they do God a service. The Bible said, all you will be hated of all men. Now think of that, folks. Every race, creed, and color. You will be hated of all men for my name's sake. You understand that? All men is going to hate you. All men. That's why we need to love one another. That's all we got is one another. One another. We need to love one another and cherish one another. Every brother counts. Every sister counts. And the great persecution or the boycott that Brother Branham spoke of is going to link us together and press us together more and more. More and more. I want you to bow your heads with me, and I want to pray for you just before I leave. Come out of the world. The Bible said, come out of her, my people. Her sins has reached up to heaven, landed on the moon. Come out of her. Come out of her. It's time to get out of the world. Come out of her. Because her sins has reached up to heaven, and God is going to do something when Sodom and Gomorrah's sins reached up to heaven. You know what he said? He said, I think I'll go down there and take a look for myself. See, Jesus walking in the evening time of life. I think I'll go down there and take a look for myself and see if it's altogether such as I've heard that it is. I want to see if it's altogether such as I've heard. Her sins has reached up to heaven. The Lord himself is coming down into the garden. Coming down to see if it's altogether such as he's heard. He's going to check it out for himself. And just before calamity, you notice angels begin to walk the earth. Be careful how you entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unaware. How do you know that? You never know. The Bible said angels encamp round about them that love the Lord. You can be talking to somebody that loves the Lord, and angels can be standing there, and you can be entertaining them unawares. How do you believe that? In other words, it's a time of getting together. A time of getting ready to go home. I like that song they sing. It's time to get started on the way home. I want to pray with you. And I want to ask the Lord tonight to help you and do something special for you. Can you bow your heads with me just before we go? Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful for your wonderful presence. How we do thank you, O Lord. How we do appreciate you, Lord. How we thank you for your grace. For your great magnificence, for your great understanding, God having been with us, having hoped us this far. I ask you, Jesus, O God, in your great name, I ask you to speak to our hearts. Father, speak to these people tonight. Do something special for them, something outstanding, O God. Lord, heal their sick bodies. Forgive their sins, Jesus. Lord, take away their sins tonight. And, oh God, let the blood of your own protection be upon them. Let them be courageous and love not their lives unto the death. But, God, be willing to be right, to be clean, to be holy, to be ready to give their lives for thee. Give us courage. Give us strength. Give us determination. Help us not to fear, but believe. In the name of Jesus, we know that you'll never leave us, never forsake us. But God, you'll be with us as we go on. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Hallelujah. If you love him, say amen. All right, let's sing one more little chorus together, can we? I'll go with
him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden.